Okay. Hour number four of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. One of the things that has started to make a somewhat regular appearance on this show have been food takes from Jason Kelce. Of course, Jason and Travis on the New Heights podcast, of which I'm not going to lie, they've won me over, but I'm squarely a Jason guy. I like Travis, all right? I like Travis, but I'm a Jason Kelce guy, all right? Because Travis gets all the glitz and the glam. Jason's just a dude.
See, this is surprising because I would think that you would be on the in the other camp because Jason is more Neanderthal than.
See, I think you underestimate my Travis broism.
But Travis is out on
Travis
the town
is a bro.
Guy. Yeah,
right.
But he's also out on the town guy. He's also he's always out doing stuff and new ventures.
But see, Travis is
like Jason because he's tailgating and doing all that.
Right,
out
that's
with
much more
okay.
Rob Brown.
Okay,
all right. He is, as am I. He's a man of the people. All right, he's a man of the people. And I was going to play the clip, but I forgot to unmute it. Travis is into like the high fashion stuff and all that. And that's, I mean, I got a little Travis in me, but I'm all Jason. All right.
Mr. Matching glasses with every outfit.
I got the red ones yesterday. Red ones are coming out for Tank Top Thursday. Can't wait till the Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey
show.
Now
I got to make sure to remember, no matter what I'm wearing, which probably won't be a tank top, do not wear red on Thursdays.
Well, no, you're good this Thursday. This Thursday, which one am I going with this Thursday? I forget who I'm bringing. I think I'm bringing out the Dirk Nowitzki this Thursday. Been hanging on to the Dirk for a minute.
It's hard for me to not wear red or black. So, I mean, you know.
This one's gray. It's gray with the blue.
Okay.
It's the gray and blue maps. So, the Kelce Bros, big fan. And one of the things that has been making a number of appearances lately is Jason Kelce food takes. Because he's got some that are really good. And he's got some I don't love. I'll give you one out of the gate. Big fan of what he and Kelce are doing with the cereals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the mixing of the cereals.
Yeah. Big fan. I am the dude that the day that Lucky Charms said, "What if we make Lucky Charms, but it's only the marshmallows?" I was like, "That's the greatest idea ever." Somebody deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for deciding a box of Lucky Charms. But only the reason that we like the Lucky Charms, the marshmallows. Big fan.
It would save, it probably saved a lot of sibling arguments.
For sure.
Know, kids, well, he got more marshmallows than me.
100%.
But when they're all marshmallows, no, he didn't.
Everybody gets the same amount of marshmallows because they're all marshmallows. Great idea. And what they're doing, which is, you know, take the marshmallows over here and the Cinnamon Toast Crunch over here and the Cocoa Puffs over here and mix them all together and get just a hodgepodge of the best parts of the best cereals. Great idea. Well, Jason Kelce had another food take on the New Heights podcast. And this one, I diverge from the great Jason Kelce.
All right, here's where we get Elite Beach Guy. Elite Beach Guy is about to show up. See? I knew it. I knew that's what it was.
Okay. You say that like it's a bad thing. You say that like it's a bad thing.
I obviously on the side of the two Buckeyes that were just speaking.
Lonzo!
Lobster is not that good.
What?
I like crabs, but I've had to do the crab thing where and there's not enough meat in it for the effort. Give me a crab cake. I know it's mixed with stuff, but at least there's something more there than me trying to pull that little bit of meat out of the thing. And no one really knows how to use those things where you break the legs, except for Elite Beach Guy. So I'm there with my Buckeye bros.
All right, let's talk about all the reasons you're wrong here. Number one, popping open a crustacean, crab, lobster, crawfish, whatever. It's just like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The better you get at it, the faster you get at it. The faster you get at it, the more efficient you get at it. The more efficient you are at it, the better it is. Okay? So if you walk down and sit down at a Rob Brown crab boil, crawfish boil. I did a boil last night. That's what the lady and I had a low country shrimp boil for our for the wedding. But because it was a wedding, we didn't really get a chance to like sit down and dig in. So last night was our, because we're totally bleeping adorable, last night was our 1 month anniversary. So because she and I did not get a chance to sit down and eat the low country boil we paid for at the reception, She came home and I surprised her with a low country boil at the house. I just did a little baby boil on the stovetop for her, okay? And when we started dating and we did the first, I did the first boil because I do a couple of boils a year. If I can get crawfish and they're not, you know, going to make me go into bankruptcy to afford them, I'll do a crawfish boil. If not, I'll do a low country boil, which is same thing, but shrimp instead of crawfish. But you boil the shrimp shell on whole, right? Deheaded, but whole. And the first time she's like, I can't believe it is taking me this much time to get so little meat out of a shrimp. And I said, it's because you're doing it wrong. Let me show you how you do it. And I taught her how to correctly peel a shrimp. Now she smokes these things. Joey B says, my wife, the small, demure Southern woman, becomes an absolute savage with a pair of claw crackers in her hand. Right. Once you learn how to do it, it's not a task. It's just pop, 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 you're done. Enjoy that bit. Number two, I'm not going to sit here and argue that lobster or crab or crawfish or shrimp is the most flavorful of the meats. Obviously, if you want that, you go get yourself a steak and you don't cook it above medium rare because anything above that is burnt and ruined. But the beautiful thing about a shrimp or a crab or a crawfish or a lobster is that it is going to take the seafood taste that is inherent within it as it is seafood. And then it is going to bring out the flavor of whatever you cook into it. I, for instance, am a big fan of Zatarain's boil. Zatarain's, to me, makes the best in-pot boil spice of all, okay? So last night, you pop a Zatarain bag down into the boiling water, and you let that spice soak for a long time. You just let it come into the water. And then, when you're boiling the seafood, all that flavor gets into that meat. So now you get the touch of the meat, because it does have a flavor. Travis is wrong, all right? It does have a flavor. It's not a super bold flavor, but it does have a flavor. Not every flavor has to kick you in the throat. Some flavors can be subtle and dance on the palate just a little bit. That's the subtle. That's the greatness of subtle flavor, is not only does it give you just a touch, but it allows you to utilize it to enhance other flavors that are within that particular meal. Okay, so however you cook it, I'm a big boil guy. I like to go with the Zatarain's, but there's Old Bay, right? Old Bay, if you go up into the great Northeast, you go up into Maryland and all that, Old Bay is it. And Old Bay is good. I actually like Old Bay. It's not as good as Zatarain's to me. I'm a Cajun guy at heart. I'm going to take that kick boil before I take the Old Bay, but Old Bay is good. But you drop the Old Bay in there, you drop the Zatarain's in there, or you drop the Yo Mama's in there, whatever you're going to use. What I do is I use the Zatarain's, and then I hit it with a couple of teaspoons of Tony Satchery's, and then two pinches of cayenne, because that cayenne's going to float, and that cayenne's going to get, and it's going to give that meat and that sausage just a little bit of a pop, all right? I will acknowledge that of all the crustaceans we are talking about, lobster, as flavor goes, it's on the bottom end, all right? But if all you're doing is boiling a lobster in water and then dipping that lobster into melted butter, you're not getting the best out of that lobster. When you boil that water, put something in there. Put your little pepper in there, a little spice, a little herb. Let that get into that lobster. Then you move on, and then you add the butter. That's the play. I'm saying respectfully, because I love Jason Kelce, respectfully. Jason Kelce ain't come to a Rob Brown boil yet. And I would like to extend the official invitation. If this, for whatever reason, happens to cross into the circle of influence that is Jason Kelce, my man, the next time that you happen to find yourself in Charlotte, North Carolina for a Panthers game, in Atlanta, Georgia for a Falcons game, or maybe you're just on a little vacation down to the Carolinas, maybe taking your lovely wife up into the Blue Ridge or whatever. You are invited to the Casa de Love. You are invited to the Burrow Cave, Jason. And I, Rob Brown, will put on a boil. And I'll let you pick the seafood, too. We can do a blue crab boil. We can do a crawfish boil. We can do a shrimp boil. I'll even do some lobster. I've never actually done a lobster boil before, but I'll give it a go. I bet I can nail that, too. James said, LOL at the Panthers getting a Monday night game anytime soon. All right, that's fair. That's fair. If you're ever in Atlanta, come on over to the Casa de Love, because this take on food, I am going to go full elitist with the next sentence. All you're telling me
had... So you're saying you haven't yet.
Correct.
You're getting ready to.
Correct. Okay. Everything I've said so far is just spitting facts.
Uh-huh.
Bars.
Okay. All right.
Okay? Here's where I am going to say elitist. All this take from you says to me, Jason, is that you're a landlocked Ohioan who's been eating bland-ass, boring-ass franchise seafood your whole life. And you know how I know that? Here's how I know that. Because at the end of the seafood conversation, with all due respect, Travis Kelce shouted out Red Lobster. That's why you think it's bad, my dude. That's why. Because you ain't had good seafood cooked by people who know what they're doing. If I say seafood and you shout out Red Lobster, which is fine. Love the Cheddar Bay biscuits. I will go into a Red Lobster just for the biscuits. And I'm going to tell you straight up, all you can eat shrimp at the Red Lobster, I will go drop my $22 on the table and I will pound pounds of shrimp down. Because shrimp's easy to get right.
If you work at a Red Lobster in the area, I love you. Obviously, he doesn't.
Because, so, again, yeah, yeah. Ohioan yeah. with bland-ass seafood experience.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
That's all it is.
All right.
That's respectfully, that's all it is. I don't expect, and this is not bad.
Would you stop with the respectfully? It's definitely not respectfully.
It is respectfully.
No, you should say arrogantly.
No. This would be like if I, who grew up on the beach, was to start going out there and giving you advice on how to survive a blizzard. You'd go, you don't know anything about it, bro. Respectfully, you don't know anything about it. You don't know what it's like. You can't tell me how to do this thing because you don't know about that thing because you ain't been around it. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have grown up without, I'm not saying it's impossible to get good seafood in Ohio. What I do know is it takes time to get the seafood to Ohio. And then I got a bunch of people cooking in Ohio who just don't cook seafood. So, What I would like to do.
I'm just going to say that there are Michelin-type restaurants in Ohio, and they probably have their seafood flown in. It's not like it's the backwoods Kentucky, and you can't get there unless you know some guy who can tell you how to get there. It's not that.
Lonzo, how many Michelin-star restaurants do you eat at?
Again, arrogant. How many do you
Travis
eat?
Kelce shouted out Red Lobster.
Yeah, yeah. And as soon as I heard that part, I knew where you were going with this entire take.
What's an Ohio delicacy? Like, what's the food in Ohio?
I think any food's a delicacy if it's prepared correctly. I don't have that.
Yes! Yeah. Yes!
Yeah, but yes! I don't have that elitist attitude. We do this better than anyone else because I don't care.
So no one does anything better than anyone else.
Because your grandma probably cooks really good. It doesn't mean that your niece does. I mean, it just, and don't do that, James.
Don't do that, James. Yeah, yeah, you know better than bringing up Skyline Chili, that garbage can ass BS food that it is.
By the way, Kelsey's don't like Skyline.
Good.
They make fun of
it. This is disturbing for me because I know Travis got taste.
I am guessing that both of them have had lobster and crab that cost more than probably you make in a year.
Clearly not.
Yeah, I'm guessing they have because they are.
Because if you think lobster is nothing more than a butter delivery system, you just ain't had good lobster. That's just all there is to it.
You know, I've heard these takes from other people when I first came down here because I went to Joe's Crab Shack and, oh, how could you? That's not real. It's like, okay, dude, I've never had it before. It tastes fine to me. And again, I love their lobster take because lobster is not, it's not that good. I think it's one of those rich foods where people say, I can afford to have lobster, even though it's not really that good. Now, if it was like Wagyu beef or something, which I've never had, but I hear it's pretty good, it's still a steak. But
this is what it comes down to. There's this thing that people do. I'm not going to point anybody in particular. But there's this thing that people do that go, rich people do it but it's not better than I got it. Yes, it is. That's why rich people do it.
Well, I just said they've had the top quality stuff, better than anything you've ever had, and they don't like it.
First off, I promise you they ain't had better lobster than I have.
I bet they have.
I guarantee they have.
You can't guarantee that. You can't.
Son, I grew up rich, baby. Yeah, I'll say it.
First of all,
I grew up rich.
That is not.
You want elitist? There's elitist.
No, it's not humanly possible for me to be your son, unless there's time travel involved. But I've never understood the elitism about food.
See, here's this thing.
It either tastes good or it doesn't. And just because I don't think it tastes good doesn't mean that whatever.
No. See, here's the problem. The disconnect is not that you don't think it's good. The disconnect is when you shout out Red Lobster as your go-to seafood, that tells me that you, for a fact, have not had the best seafood. Because if Travis and Jason had the best seafood, they would have been like, shout out to Mickey's in Kansas City, best lobster.
You have these same arguments about Duke's mayonnaise. I mean, if you had never had these conversations about Duke's mayonnaise, your argument would have more weight to it. But you've done this argument about mayonnaise. I mean, come on.
I don't think I have done, you ain't had good mayonnaise. And I know that because you shouted out Hellman's.
Come on. Oh, you've gotten mad because anyone said Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip sucks. Objectively, Miracle Whip is booty cheeks.
You've had the same argument
Miracle
about
Whip's
mayonnaise.
Trash. It's just trash. It's not mayonnaise. All right. It is objectively, it's on the jar, not mayonnaise. But put the mayonnaise to bed. Let's dial in here. If you
that's freaky if you put mayonnaise to bed.
Okay, that's not what that means.
Okay.
If you think that lobster is just a butter delivery system, you just haven't had good lobster. I don't have to tell you. And if you think blue crab ain't worth the time to open a blue crab, it tells me one of two things. Either A, you ain't had good blue crab, or B, you ain't gotten good enough at opening the blue crab to realize it's not that big of a chore. It's not that much work if you know what you are doing. Take the time to learn it. It's like peeling a shrimp or a crawfish. I can have a crawfish.
No, you said shrimp, right?
Yes.
I can't let that go.
That's how I've said it six times this segment. That's how I'll say it.
Yeah, but shrimp. I've done my best to not, but I can't.
If you come to a Rob Brown crawfish boil and you don't know how to peel a crawfish, I will have 12 crawfish peeled in the time you get the first one done. Now, you can go, it's not worth it. Yeah, it is. It's worth it to learn how to do it.
What he's saying is, unless he has a whole lot, don't come for that because you ain't going to get to eat, and he's going to eat it all.
No.
Why would you do 12 when they did one?
A good host
would say, hey, let me help you.
I do.
That's not what
I'm saying. What I'm saying, you've decided what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. If you come to the house and you don't know how to peel a crawfish, I will teach you how to peel the crawfish. I will teach you how to grab it by the right ring, how to get the head twisted, suck the juice, all right? How to get that first ring ripped, squeeze the tail, pop it out. Takes me a half a second.
There's a lot of people going, I ain't doing that.
I don't know. Suck the head, pinch the tail. That's how you eat a crawfish, all right? So when I get you there, I will teach you how to do it so that you don't go, oh, my God, it took me 10 minutes to peel a crawfish for that little bitty bite. No, it's not. No, so I'll have a whole plate of crawfish peeled in 2 minutes. But when that's the spot that you are out, when that's the spot you're in, it makes sense that you would take that and translate it onto the food. It ain't the food's fault. So, Jason, if this makes its way into your circle, open invitation to come to the Casa de Love. It's not as nice of a house as yours is, all right? But I will throw you personally a boil. I will teach you how to pop a crawdad. I will teach you how to pop a blue crab. I will teach you how to eat a lobster and make it more than just a butter delivery system because I am sad for you. I am sad for you that you think that's what this is. It's not. I promise I got you, dog, because I love you. And you deserve better than what you think you have had is good seafood because you clearly ain't. I'm here to help, my guy. I really am. Casa de Love open invite for the Kelseys to come by and actually learn what good seafood is. I got your back, brothers. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. The Fan Upstate. Corn Chip texts the show 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N. Texter says, Corn Chip says, my wife loves her some crawfish. I can't get behind it. Well, then consider me hashtag team Mrs. Corn Chip. She gets it. Again, I for some of y'all,
you
there's
must
a skill
have a
issue
select
here.
Few of friends. Well, he doesn't like to, so you can't be my friend. You can't, you know, so you
when
can't
did
be
I
my
say
friend.
Any of that?
I mean, just
in
I
fact,
mean,
quite the opposite.
You are not my people because you don't like what
no,
I like.
Quite That's the opposite. What, I want better for you. I know how good it can be.
You know,
I want better for
and
you.
And when you use the talking down, you bless your heart tone, that really makes people go, thank you, Rob.
I want better for you. I want y'all to enjoy the best life has to offer. And if you think crawfish are complicated, yeah, bless your heart. I can help you. I'm here to help. I'm here to make your life better. Not worse.
I guess this is ignorance is bliss. I guess that's what it is. You know, if the best seafood you've ever had is red lobster because that's the only seafood you've ever had.
That's sad.
I'm glad.
I feel bad
it's
for you.
Not sad.
It's sad.
Because if you enjoyed the experience, and you may never be able to afford what Rob can
what
afford.
What if the best pizza?
So, I mean, enjoy what you can afford.
What if somebody said to you the best pizza they've ever had was from a gas station, or the only pizza they've ever had was from a gas station? You're telling me you won't say that your pizza joint you've been telling me about for a hot minute is better than the gas station in the heater in the better than the pizza in the heater at the gas station?
No, I would say, here, dude, here's $5.
That's basically what I'm saying.
That's also,
I'm here to help
so
you.
So what you're willing to do is all of us who can't afford this rich food that you talk about, you're really willing to give us either cash.
Oh, man, shrimp's like $5
talking about
for
lobster.
2 pounds.
We're talking about lobster. I mean, don't change it. Make me a lobster.
Lobster ain't
cheap. Make me a lobster and improve. Well, you just, I mean, that's what they were talking about.
Let's not pretend you're breaking the bank to go to the store and get a couple of lobster
deals. Okay.
You're at like $20.
All right, so make me some lobster.
The argument that, oh, it's expensive, that's not what the argument was. The argument was, does it taste good or not?
I've heard that. I've heard that there's gas station pizza that's really good, by the way.
There's a couple that aren't bad.
QT, and there are some pizza restaurants run out of gas stations.
They aren't bad. But if you can look me in the face and tell me that you are willing to allow people to put those on par with the pizza that you have been pimping to me since you got here.
I am not them. Okay, I've taken people to places where I really like the food and they don't.
That's not what I'm asking.
It's not me to tell them how they should think or how they should feel or how they should taste.
Nah, I will. I'll be the bad guy. I don't care. I've been doing it all day. Why not? Texas said, dang, Rob, blue crab sucks. Lonzo was correct. Too much work for too little meat. I know how to peel one. Lived in Florida for 30 years, family in Maryland, and it ain't hitting like that. Dude, I got nothing. I got nothing. Blue crab claws are a delicacy.
You know
They're
what I,
phenomenal.
You know what I feel? I feel bad for you. It's been a day for you. It's been a day for me. Hardly anybody on your side. Joe's always got you back, though. I mean, no. That's
hardly
cool.
Anybody on my side. No, that's just incorrect. Texter said, stone crab. Another texter said, if you're shouting out Red Lobster for anything other than the Cheddar Bay biscuits, you're a moron. No, it ain't just me. Texter said, Lonzo probably buys seafood at Long John Silver's.
By the way, loved Long John Silver's.
I will say this. Shout out Long John Silver's. They're not bad.
I mean,
but they're not serving. They're serving like cod and whitefish. Well, whitefish is easy to get right.
And you know, in that little boat, there's all that extra stuff, which is just breading. But as a kid, you're just like, it's almost like French fries. I mean,
oh, for sure. You know. My mom used to get real mad because she'd go to Popeyes and she'd get onion rings. And by the time we get home, I'd eaten all the breading off the onion rings. So she just had onions.
And by the way, when you're a kid and you're poor, like I was, going to Long John Silver's it's amazing because it's. You get to be a pirate, and you got a pirate hat, and you get to eat all those little kernel things.
I will shout out Long John and Captain B's. All right,
Captain D's. B's is you don't want to go to B. D's though, I got food poisoning there once, and then I never went back. But that was in Ohio.
I'll say this, but again, most of what you're getting there is shrimp, which is very easy to get right,
Crispies.
And whitefish.
That's what they are.
Whitefish, which is easy to get right. What I'm talking about is the seafood that takes a higher skill level to cook and consume. There are just things that have different levels of necessity, and seafood's one of those things.
I have never thought, let me see if I can cook one of these crabs. No, because they're too expensive, and that's a lot of effort to do.
They're not expensive, nor does it take effort to do. It's just,
it does take effort.
It takes preparation to get it right.
And if it's cooked wrong, you could get really sick.
Right, so cook it right. It ain't like it's a big, y'all making it sound like, again, like you got a new damn rocket scientist to cook a crab.
I don't go to a restaurant to have to do work. Okay, I go to a restaurant to be served a meal, so I don't have to work for it.
So if I have to go there and crack, better than Red Lobster.
I don't need to go somewhere and have to crack stuff open. Okay, some people just like violence and the pleasure of I broke someone's bones or something. If I go to a restaurant, I'm going there because I don't feel like cooking myself. I don't want to go there and have to do a bunch of work.
It's not a bunch of work. I think that's the other part is you guys are dramatically exaggerating the amount of effort it takes. To open a crab. It's not that big of a deal. It's really not. Oh, get a fight. No, you don't. No, you don't. Grab those crackers, put it on that spot on the shell, crack it open, pull the meat out. That's literally it. That's literally it. What a fight Jason started on the show today. What a fight Jason started on the show today. All right. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE is the number. You can text us, 71307, 71307. Brian says, I don't like seafood, but I do like fish out of the sea, but it's hard. What? Brian, what? You don't like seafood, but you do like fish? What? Okay. All right, that's it. I don't know. Is that enough seafood talk? Do we keep going? I feel like this is an important conversation. Because, listen, Travis and Jason, who I am, let me be, again, very clear, big fans of. I'm a big fan. I like the pod. I like the bros. I like that Jason shows up to Monday Night Football in like a jogging suit. All right. Half the reason I still work in radio is because the great one and I can wear basketball shorts and backwards caps as part of the work uni. I'm a big fan of that. I respect Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce. They have figured it out, man. I respect it. This is just a bad take.
Here's the other thing. When we have conversations that are not sports related, it's because we're human beings. And these are conversations that people are having in their office or you have with a member of your family and you think, wow, am I the only one that thinks like this? And in Rob's case, he is.
No, he's definitely not. Definitely not. All right, we got to get some more sports in here. Let's go to the phone line. Remington. Is that right? Remington? Like steel?
What, did I spell it wrong?
I'm just making sure. I did. I don't think in the 17 years I'm doing this, I've never spoken to a Remington. I feel like this is a moment. Remington, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
Love your show.
Thank you very much.
I just want to start off with two things. Blue crab sucks. Oh, Red Lobster sucks.
Okay, well, 50-50.
Anyway, but back to sports. So I do have I'd like to pick y'all's brains on the ACC. What does NC State need to do to get over the hump of not being able to get more than 9 wins? Like the last 3 years, we've had 9 wins in a row. This year, we suck. If we win out the rest of the year, which we won't, we could finish the year with 8 wins, which we won't. But what does NC State have to do? Because I feel like they have the talent on the field. I mean, they might not, but does Dave Doerr need to go? Does the offensive coordinator need to go, even though he's only been there 1 year? Or do we need to give the defensive coordinator the head coach job? Or what does NC State need to do to be able to beat Clemson consistently? Be able to – I mean, we beat the Tar Heels consistently, so I'm okay with that. But what do they need to do to get over the 9-8-win hump?
First off, before we talk about your Wolfpack, I have to ask a question. Are you okay? You don't sound okay, bud. You sound down a little bit about your Wolfpack.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rough year, man. I've been waiting for NC State to play in the ACC championship or get more than 10 wins for probably the last, I don't know, 10 years now. And we always get 9 wins and we can't win a bowl game. Or we get 9 wins and we finish third in ACC because we lose to a 2-10 Boston College team on senior night at home. But then we can go to Death Valley and beat Clemson. That don't make sense to me. So that's the life of a Wolfpack fan for you. But, yeah, I'd just like to know what y'all think NC State needs to do.
It's a fair question, Remington. Appreciate that phone call, man. Thank you very much. I will start with this. I think first and foremost, I really do like Dave Doerr. And I think on top of that, I think that you guys have this year on paper. Let's be very clear about that. I think on paper, you guys have the best roster NC State's had in a very long while. I think the talent is there. I think there's a couple of things. Number one, I think for whatever reason, NC State in games like when you got smoked by Clemson, I think that, and this, I don't know if this is a Doran thing. I don't know if this comes from because the philosophy hasn't gone down the pipeline enough yet or what. I think this NC State team is almost over emotional. I don't really know how else to put it, right? Like you pointed out that game over what was it when Clemson came to NC State a couple of years ago, and it felt like you guys had them on the ropes, and then the wheels just came off. I feel like this team buys too much into the allows the emotion to dictate the game to you more often than not. And you can, again, I go to the Clemson game this year, and it was in Death Valley. 59-35, your final score in that one. And in fairness, it was one of the games in this streak that Clemson's on of looking like Clemson. Again, K-Klubnik had, what, I think three tutty passes in that game? It feels like when NC State gets punched in the mouth, you guys don't respond to that. Now, ultimately, it is going to filter up to the head coach. But Dave Doran has, you know where Dave Doran is to me? He's where I feel like Shane Beamer was last year. You're like, okay, the talent is here now. The recruiting is good. The talent is here. You do have the problem of being in the middle of NC State, Duke, Wake Forest, and of course, all the Carolinas, South and North, coming up there to recruit as well. So it's not going to be easy for you. I don't know if this is a philosophy thing, a Dave Doran thing, or what, but I feel like NC State, when they get down, stays down. And it's not just for a game. It kind of goes through the rest of the season. That being said, you are absolutely good enough to beat Stanford. I think you're absolutely good enough to beat Duke. At Georgia Tech's a pretty good team. That's a tough one. North Carolina's down this year. I think you're looking at three out of the four games the rest of the year are wins. I've won a bunch of money off of the Wolfpack. I'm not giving up on this team yet. I do think Dave Doran's one more year away. But the talent is now there for NC State. I'll talk more about this probably tomorrow. Remington, appreciate that phone call. We're up against the break on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Right now, Lonzo, the team that is on top of their respective NFL division that is least likely to win that division: Buffalo at 5-2 in the AFC East, Baltimore at 5-2, or the 5-2 Steelers out of the AFC North. I'll let you pick either one of those. 5-2 Houston in the AFC South, one game above the 4-3 Colts. 5-2 Washington, one game ahead of the 4-2 Eagles. 5-1 Detroit Lions, tied with the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, they beat the Vikings this weekend. The 5-1 Vikings or the 5-2 Packers. The Bears are 4-2. By the way, the NFC North is the best division in football right now, just so we're all clear.
I am curious, do we know how bad of an injury Jaden Daniels?
It is a rib injury. I do not believe that they have updated it yet. In fact, let me see if there is a Tuesday morning update. Dan Quinn says that Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is, quote, week to week, end quote.
So I think that factors in.
Oh, 100%. Because there's not a lot of breathing room for the Washington Commanders right now. Pardon my expression, with a rib injury. They've got the Bears, the Giants, the Steelers, the Eagles coming up in the next four.
Yeah, I'm not. So right away, that's my team right there.
Yeah.
That I'm picking because, yeah, Mariota came in and looked good. But
yeah, now there's tape on him though.
Yeah, and I mean that's in relief. That's not starting several games.
The Eagles have the Bengals, Jags, Cowboys, and Commanders in that four game stretch. Atlanta 4-3 and Tampa are both 4-3. Seattle is 4-3, one game better than Arizona and San Francisco, who are both 3-4. If I ask you right now, which team in the division lead, and you can include the tied teams here, would you consider the least likely to end up winning their division at the end of the year? Is it, and again, I'm going all the way through the end of the year. Is it Washington? Is it the 4-3 Atlanta Falcons who got smoked this weekend by Seattle? Is it Seattle at 4-3?
It's either Washington or Seattle because despite all the injuries, I still believe San Francisco might come back and win that.
So Ayuk is done for the year. We did get that update. He is cooked for the year. Debo apparently this weekend was ill. He was not hurt. He was sick.
He was. He had to go to hospital. I heard it earlier. Pneumonia.
Yeah. I mean that'll keep you down for a minute, right? Because it's not just how long you're out; it's also getting back up to speed. And then there's McCaffrey, who is still out there floating in the wind. Here's what I will say about that: I don't think San Francisco factors, and I'll tell you why. I have been saying for 2 years now, I don't think Brock Purdy is as good as a lot of people are trying to make him out to be. I think he's functional. I think he's good. I don't think he is a top flight, top notch quarterback. I think Brock Purdy has been made to look good by having the Avengers around him. You know what he is? He's Hawkeye, right? He's a regular guy. Yeah, granted, he's got some talent that a lot of people don't have. But at the end of the day, Hawkeye without the Avengers is a really talented guy, but he ain't lasting long if Thanos shows up and it's just him. All right? He's just not. He's good. He's better than average. He's certainly upgraded. But without McCaffrey for at least the length of time, even though Jordan Mason has stepped in and looked pretty good in relief. And again, I think much like with quarterbacks, the longer they rely on Mason, the less efficient he's going to become. But without McCaffrey, now without Ayuk, he is down to, and probably for at least another week or two, probably not going to get the best out of Debo. Without the Avengers around him, I think San Francisco is in trouble right now at 3-4. They are not leading that division, but I think 2 weeks from now, they will be two further games out. They got the Cowboys and the Buccaneers coming up. The Cowboys aren't good. We put them in a bad category yesterday. I don't see San Francisco hanging around. I think they could lose to Dallas this weekend. In fact, I'll probably take Dallas on the money line win over this team without them. The other team is, and Joey B jumped at it first, if the injuries to Godwin and Evans are serious, it's absolutely the Buccaneers. That's 100% correct. I can go ahead and tell you right now, Godwin is out for at least a number of weeks. A dislocated ankle is not something you tape back up.
That's saying you trust Atlanta. And Atlanta looks good, and then they don't.
I think Atlanta wins this division the way Tampa won it last year. There's just nobody else.
Well, the way anyone in the NFC South wins in the last decade.
Yeah, just be the least terrible.
Yeah, I just...
Because you got Tampa, who's now missing wide receivers 1 and 2. Evans is going to be done for at least a week because of the hammy. Godwin, I'm not saying he's done for the year. I wouldn't be shocked if he is with that ankle injury. There's New Orleans. And then there's, of course, the Carolina Panthers at 1 and 6. Atlanta's going to win this division just by being the least bad. This is going to be another year where you have like a 7-10, 8-9 team win this division because they're garbage. James said, Atlanta is known for holding leads, so I trust them. 28-3 will never die. It will go for another team could drop a lead 30-3, and 28-3 will still never die. I am interested in what this Jaden Daniels injury turns out to be. Because I agree with you entirely. If they got to lean on Marcus Mariota, Washington's cooked. They will give this lead back to Philly. But if this is like a bruised rib and he's out 2 weeks and comes back, and I will tell you, I've had a bruised rib before. It sucks, dude. It sucks. It hurts to breathe. It hurts to stand up. It hurts to lay down. It hurts to sit down. It hurts to eat. It hurts to drink. It hurts to laugh. It hurts to talk. It just hurts all the time. You cannot play NFL football effectively with even a bruised rib. Forget cracked or broken if that's what it ends up being. If he's out for any length of time, it's Washington, it's Tampa, and frankly, I think it's San Francisco, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've had bruised ribs, too. Shout out to the guard from Lancaster High School. I hope you trip.
You still holding that grudge, Colonel?
Forever.
Forever.
Ribs were bruised for quite some time, like the entire season that year. All right, the first in its accent is... unfortunately, Samantha Irvin.
So Samantha Irvin has left WWE. She was a ring announcer. She was phenomenal at her job, to be honest with you. She announced yesterday her departure from Raw. They announced her departure from Raw on Raw. And then they welcome back the GOAT. Lillian Garcia is back, sparkly, short dress and all. And then, of course, she came out. She botched her first intro. But, hey, she's been out of the game for a minute. Let her warm back
never
up.
Never got the appeal of Lillian Garcia, ever.
That's a you problem,
yeah,
bud.
No, it's not. It's not. She was not that good, especially compared to Samantha Irvin. And Harold Bockwinkel is, like, the greatest of all time.
Superstar. I love Lillian.
It is not a surprise that Samantha is leaving since Ricochet left.
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as Ricochet left, you know, whenever her contract came up, she was going to be out.
There are other rumors that some of her racy pictures may have something to do with her leaving, too.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
I highly doubt. I have seen what Zelina Vega has posted. All right. Her cosplay is less revealing than what Samantha put. I don't think it's that. In fact, I think at this point, WWE post the Mandy Rose era, I think they're fine with the ladies posting more, shall we say, racy pictures online. Like, don't go full OnlyFans on us. But if you want to post up the itty bitty teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, we're good with that. I think her what, fiance or husband or whatever is NAEW, and I think she's on her way there as well.
Yeah, that just makes sense. And as far as Lillian Garcia goes, she's a stopgap. She's in between. She's just there till they find somebody else.
She's the goat.
She's not.
She's the goat.
Yeah, I just don't get.
She came out to the last Raw that was here, and she got the loudest pop of the night.
She did.
I was there.
The next thing that Zach's seen is Christopher Lloyd.
I don't know why Christopher Lloyd is trending. I am going to say Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit was the greatest bad guy performance in any movie ever.
That was so freaky.
It was Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the best bad guy of any movie ever. That man was terrifying.
You were a little kid, so probably when it came out, so I get it. Yeah, it was, it's his birthday.
That scene where he melts the animated shoe.
Yeah.
I have nightmares to this day about that. The drawn-on face on that shoe when he dips him into acid is horrifying. There's a thing going on right now. You'll appreciate this, I think. Down at Disney right now, they're doing Mickey's big Halloween party or whatever. And one of the things they've set up this year, though, as you walk around the park, is there are different stages where they have bad guys from their different movies. So there's a spot where you go into a stage and it looks like hell from Hercules, and they got James Woods Hades up there. Well, one of the bad guys, they got Dr. Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb, and he's hilarious.
By the way, the new season happens next year. Original cast.
Big Phineas and Ferb guy.
Original cast coming back.
Big Phineas and Ferb guy.
Saturday on the Pulse.
One of the ones that they have is his character from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and he actually murders a shoe on the stage. The shoe's like animatronic. It moves around, and it does the scream from the movie. I saw it and had flashbacks to... If I have to go to a therapist and they're like, where do you think your childhood trauma came from? It's from Christopher Lloyd. That's where it came from. Not my mom. My mom was great. Christopher Lloyd scarred me as a child.
He also
Happy birthday, by the way, to Doc Brown.
He was 86 and best known for that, or Taxi. Or he was also a Klingon in one of these.
He was
Trek
a Klingon.
Movies,
I actually had heard that before.
This is weird, but yeah. All right. And finally, Tom Hardy.
Venom drops on Thursday. I don't care what anybody says. I have enjoyed the Venom movie so far. I enjoyed him. I like this iteration of Venom. I like anti-hero Venom. I think it's a great Venom. And I think Hardy has said he's done with Venom, but I really want him in the MCU. I want a Spidey Venom team up.
Well, there's some people thinking it's wordplay that he's done with Venom, but that doesn't mean he's done voicing Venom.
That's fair. I want this Venom in a team up with Tom Holland Spider-Man. I think it'd be incredible. I don't know. I also don't know why I call him Spider-Man. Spider-Man, Far From Home.
That deal's a Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, he works in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Spider-Man right there. He done swing for them tall buildings over in Music City, USA. Spider-Man. All right, that's it for us. Y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again and find out what food take Lonzo when I throw blows tomorrow over. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a lovely rest of your day. Enjoy NBA opening night this evening. We'll break those games down tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!